What the Federal Reserve presented to the country yesterday was really a state-of-the-art assessment of the U.S. economy at this moment. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It's likely you heard the headline, "The Guardians of Interest Rates at America's Central Bank lowered the cost of borrowing slightly yesterday." It's a dash of stimulus, even though the U.S. economy is often regarded as in a state of boom. It's the first time the Fed has lowered rates since we emerged from the financial crisis. This is a decision by a committee with access to what should be the best information. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer was at the Fed briefing yesterday. Nancy, what did they tell us?
Well, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said this cut is meant to be insurance, a kind of a preventive measure. And he says, sure, unemployment is low, the U.S. economy is growing, but Powell says there are problems on the horizon, things like inflation that's too low, low business investment, and trade tensions.
We also feel like weak global growth and trade tensions are having an effect on the U.S. economy. You see it now in second quarter. You see weak investment. You see weak manufacturing.
Now, David, Powell did say the trade tensions have returned to what he called a simmer after nearly boiling over in May and June. But he added the trade war is really unusual, and it's just not something the Fed is used to dealing with.
You know, the thing is, there isn't a lot of experience in responding to global trade tensions. So it's something that we haven't faced before and that we're learning by doing it.
Now, we're hearing some financial analysts didn't much like what Powell had to say yesterday. The indicators bore that out. Did you see the S&P 500 close down 1.1% yesterday? What are these analysts saying?
Well, they say the Fed really has its work cut out for it in this economy. Scott Brown is chief economist at Raymond James, and we asked him if the last interest rate back in December was a mistake. He said it wasn't, because at that time the economy was getting stronger. He says it's just really hard for the Fed to deal with all of the uncertainty around trade.
You know, you get optimism that there's going to be a trade deal, and then that optimism fades. You're definitely seeing weaker global growth, and that's going to weigh against a lot of U.S. firms. And even the ongoing trade policy is a big negative for business fixed investment, and that's a bit of a concern.
There was also, I think, a fair amount of confusion, Nancy, around the way Powell described the Fed's logic about how it's going to approach interest rate decisions for the rest of the year. How are economists interpreting what Powell said?
Well, Powell called yesterday's cut a mid-cycle adjustment. So just a tweak to interest rates to keep the economic expansion going. Megan Green is a senior fellow at Harvard. We talked to her. She explained it to us this way.
This isn't a new regime that we're in. We're not at the end of the business cycle and starting a downturn. They're just trying to kind of tweak on the margins what's going on.
But this is a key thing for all of us, making business plans, looking for better jobs. What do we know about the future, the likelihood of future interest rate cuts?
Well, Powell was adamant this is just a tweaking of interest rates. He compared it to the 90s when the Fed cut rates a little. He really disappointed traders who were expecting this to be the start of a long slide in interest rates. Here's what he said.
It's not the beginning of a long series of rate cuts. I didn't say it's just one or anything like that. What I said is, when you think about rate cutting cycles, they go on for a long time, and the committee's not seeing that.
So I asked Powell if these cuts, could be a problem because this is going to give the Fed less room to maneuver with a big rate cut during the next recession. And here's part of his answer to my question.
But you're assuming that we would never raise rates again, that once we've cut these rates, so they can never go back up again. As a matter of principle, I don't think that's right.
So Powell is saying, hey, don't get carried away. We're just cutting rates a bit now to stabilize things. And hopefully the economy will start growing enough in the future. We'll have to consider raising rates again.
All right. Hopefully. I heard that word. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thank you for all of this. Let's check the markets this morning. After the Dow fell 333 points yesterday, that was 1.2%. This morning, the Dow up 0.3%. The S&P is up 0.2%. The FTSE in London up 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury yield up slightly from where it left off late yesterday, 2.04%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The U.S. Census Bureau says children under five were the group most likely to be undercounted in the last census back in 2010. The advocacy group Count All Kids says more than 10% of those children went uncounted. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports on what that undercount could mean if it happens again next year.
There's literally a cost when a kid isn't counted by the census.
We lose $2,700 for every child not counted, and that's every year. And so that's been going on since 2010.
Heather Hanna teaches at Mississippi State University and is co-director of Mississippi Kids Count. That lost income results in shortfalls for all kinds of programs. In early childhood education, it means not enough slots in Mississippi's Head Start program.
And so it's very important that we get the funding we need to make sure we have enough slots.
Andrew Reamer, a research professor at George Washington University, says companies can be misled by the bad data, too.
Businesses looking to locate stores to service kids may think there's fewer kids in the neighborhood than in fact there are and not locate a store there.
The Census Bureau is working with community groups and elected officials across the country, getting the word out so that all kids get counted in 2020. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And by the time we got to Woodstock, everywhere was a song and celebration. Well, not this time. A big Woodstock 50th anniversary concert has been called off for some pretty on rock and roll reasons. A court fight with investors and the loss of two upstate New York locations. There had been a heroic last-minute effort to move it to a venue in Columbia, Maryland, between D.C. and Baltimore, but they couldn't get it together. It would have been Santana, Dead & Company, Fogerty, Jay-Z, The Killers, and more. Sorry. I say, cook some food, invite pals over, and stream the album. It'll be okay. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.